What's up, guys? Rick here with your DFS preview for this week's Shriners Children's Open. It is great to be back from the Ryder Cup in Italy. Obviously, that was awesome, but always nice to come home. Thank you so much for bearing with me over the course of the last couple of weeks. It's obviously difficult to balance a lot of those things. And last week was the first time in 7 years that I missed a Monday DFS preview. It's wild, but certainly for good reason. And I'm excited to get back at it this week. And even more so because this is really a home game. You know, Las Vegas, TPC Summerlin, this is the golf course that I play out of here in Vegas. This is a golf course that I know better than any other PGA Tour stop. It's not like there's a huge ton of you know, secrets out there, but I love this event, and I'll be out there basically every day if you're going to be around. So I'll definitely be on site Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's for sure. Likely Sunday as well. Kind of see how that pans out. But yeah, should be an absolute great time. I can't wait. Let's run. Let's get into it. This is the Course Key Stats Model on rickrungood.com, which is a website, my website for fantasy golf and golf betting, giant database, visualizations, tools, all that fun stuff. TPC Summerlin is a very easy golf course, especially for, not for me, especially for the pros, right? You know, they turn it from a par 72 into a par 71. They flip number 3, which is a par 5 for the members, into a par 4. And still you see some kind of scoring records shatter. If you remember a couple of years ago, it had the lowest score to par for the cut. I think it was 7 under required to make the cut. So if you are out here making pars, you're likely losing ground to the field. And if you're making bogeys, you better stop doing that immediately because you've got to get some circles on the card immediately. Now, the model that I run, so this regression model, which looks at all the stats for every player and every season dating back for the last 12 years, there's really a couple of things that stand out. Strokes gained putting, which ranks 8th, which means there's only 7 other courses in which strokes gained putting is more important than TPC Summerlin, and strokes gained around the green, 16th, which means there's only 15 other courses in which strokes gained around the green is more important. Those are the ranks. Obviously, the pure value still means that strokes gained approach, even though it's 39th out of 50, is more valuable than around the green play. But just to put it into perspective, I show you those ranks there. And I generally agree with this. So not a very long golf course, 7,200 yards, par 71. But remember, we're at like 2,000 feet of altitude, right? So I get like 10% on all of my drives and basically most of my shots here compared to sea level. This is probably one of the higher elevations that these guys play at over the course of a regular season. There might be one in Mexico where they go a little bit higher. And when we get to next fall and they go to Utah, I think that course that they're playing is like 3,000 feet or something crazy. So that makes this golf course even shorter. And when you look at guys that have won here or have had success here, it's not particularly bombers, right? I mean, obviously you think of Tom Kim, but you think of other guys like Martin Laird and just kind of the shorter hitters that have been able to get their way around this golf course. Also worth noting that this is now basically a full year, just a little bit more than a full year since they replaced every green and every fairway. Remember, they shut down for 4 months prior to last year's event, installed the new fairways and greens, and then the Shriners was basically the first time anybody played on it with the new stuff. I'll tell you what, it has really taken well. It was, as far as Vegas goes, a moderate summer. Believe me, it doesn't feel that way, but that is true. A little bit wetter than normal. And I was out there a couple of weeks ago playing, and it's mint. It is in great shape. Really, really happy with the way that the course is looking and playing. So here's what I think that you're going to need. You don't necessarily need to be long, especially because you'll get some decent roll out of these fairways. You don't really care about the rough. The rough is it's not really penal at all. Where you need to keep it in is the desert, right? You just can't have the big miss. When you hit it into the desert, obviously, you're kind of cooked, right? And you are at the mercy of whatever happens to you. Does it bounce out? Is it sitting on a rock? Will you even find it? Is it in a snake hole? All this stuff, right? So you've got to keep it out of the desert. That's the goal off the tee. I don't necessarily care about distance. I don't necessarily care about accuracy. I care about keeping it in play. The approach aspect of this is very much an opportunities game, right? So we can look at, and we'll do this. Actually, I might as well just do it now. You know, if you go to the power rankings and you go to, I think I have it under fantasy here, and you look at opportunities, opportunities gained, opportunities plus, and opportunities plus gained. Those are stats that say, how often are you hitting it, giving yourself a birdie opportunity of 15 feet or closer? That's an opportunity. Or 10 feet or closer? That's an opportunity plus. And then how often are you gaining on the field? So you'll see Ludvig Åberg kind of lapping the field in opportunities gained plus, or excuse me, opportunities gained over the course of the last 36 rounds. Some guys who hit it even closer, you know, Kevin Yu, JT Poston, Eric Cole, give themselves a lot of opportunities. So that's kind of the name of the game when it comes to the second shot. You're just going to have a lot of looks. We already talked about going pretty deep here. And then we'll skip around the green for a second, because putting, not only is it very valuable in the regression model, but yeah, I mean, listen, you got to make putts. You're going to have to roll in a lot of these opportunities to put circles on the cart. That's what you're going to have to do. And you're going to have to go deep. You're going to have to take apart the fives, and you're going to have to take a lot of opportunities, because it's basically driver wedge in most spots. The one nuance that I find is the around the green play. So I don't want to say it's difficult around the greens at TPC Summerlin. I will say it's tricky. And I will say that we've seen guys cough it up around the greens. Victor, right? I mean, he hasn't played here, I guess, in 2 years. He lost like 9 strokes around the green here, right? So my point being that you don't need to be the best around the green player, right? Because if you're tapping into that constantly, you're not making enough birdies to contend here. But what you can't be is you can't be bad, because if you're getting a couple of, you know, if you're getting a handful of around the green shots around and you're giving up a quarter of a stroke every single time, you're screwed there, right? And we've seen guys give up a lot more than that. So you just need to be a little bit suitable around these greens. If you take that all into consideration, I'll run a model at the end of the show, obviously, but this is just purely based on the course key stats and the guys that get the best adjusted fit numbers based on those digits above. JT Poston gets the best adjusted fit. He's basically a stroke per round better at TPC Summerlin based on his skill set, based on his fit, based on the calculations than his average, right? So JT Poston, Tom Kim, and that, listen, Tom Kim would be a good fit even with, course fit and course history are different. Obviously, Tom Kim won this event last year, but that is different than course fit. Even if Tom Kim never teed it up here, like Ludvig Åberg, Ludvig Aberg's got the 6th best course fit. He's never played here. So course fit and course history are different. Always nice to see when they converge for Tom Kim. Alex Noren is 3rd, Eric Cole, Mark Hubbard, then Ludvig Åberg in 6th. We'll talk a lot about Ludvig here in just 1 second, and I'll pronounce his name correctly, but I've got to retrain my brain there. So let's soak that all in and go look at the salaries and the cheat sheet, which is available here. A little bit of a different look on rickrungood.com. What I'm hoping to do here, the goal is to basically have one cheat sheet, not have a PGA cheat sheet, a European Tour cheat sheet, or whatever. Have them all feed into one URL, one tool where you can flip back and forth between all of them. So that's kind of what I'm going towards here. So that's why you see it looks a little bit different. 4 golfers over $10,000, Ludvig Åberg, Tom Kim, Cam Davis, JT Poston. Just quickly, so I sat next to Mattias Sandberg from Swedish TV at the Ryder Cup. We had this discussion about how are Americans supposed to pronounce Ludvig's name? Is it Åberg? Is it Åberg? What is it? And he told me, based on like the English dialect, the acceptable English pronunciation would be Åberg. Like, oh my God, Berg. Fair enough. I can do that. Ludvig Åberg. He's known back home as Ludy. There you go. Tom Kim, Cam Davis, JT Poston. Let's start with Ludvig. An incredibly impressive runner-up finish at the Sanderson Farms. This kid flies back from Rome after winning the Ryder Cup and goes to Jackson, Mississippi and gets himself into a playoff. What a stellar, and I certainly did not expect that. And he is just so machine-like. And the swing travels because there's so much efficiency in it. Look at his off the tee numbers. I mean, he is gaining literally 4 or 5 strokes off the tee per start nearly every single time he tees it up. And then he's going to add on, you know, over his last 3, another 19 strokes gained on approach. Doesn't even count what he did at the Ryder Cup. And then he's going to be a positive around the green player. He's going to be a positive putter. This dude's dangerous. Really, really dangerous stuff. I don't necessarily think this is the greatest spot for him because I think there are going to be better courses where long and straight is going to be deadly and he's going to be able to separate himself a lot more. But I don't think the Country Club of Jackson was particularly a great spot for him either. And he goes out and he finishes runner up there. So this is a very impressive golfer that we're getting. It is well deserved for him to be $11,000 in the midst of a young career. You know, he won just a couple of starts ago and he is just vibing right now. I want to point out Tom Kim. You know, I think that there's going to be an opportunity, and obviously I record this early on a Monday, so I don't know. We'll see what that projected ownership is as we get to the Wednesday live chat. So we're back at it again. I cannot wait for the live chat, 3 p.m. Eastern time, Rick Rungood YouTube channel. I might have to adjust that time a little bit because I want to get out to the golf course and all that stuff. But for right now, 3 p.m. Eastern time, Rick Rungood YouTube channel is where we'll do the live chat like normal. I imagine you're going to get a lot of Ludwig this week. People are going to just click the name, and I don't think it's wrong, but I want to point out that Tom Kim is playing the best golf that he has played since he won this event last year. You know, expectations were massive. When he goes and wins at the Wyndham, he has a great President's Cup, and then he wins at TPC Summerlin, and now expectations are through the roof. The rest of his 2023 was not great. It was fine. Nothing wrong with it, but look at what he's done lately. Going back to the Scottish Open, 6 at the Scottish Open, runner up at the Open, all top 25s after that, T18 at the BMW PGA Championship, T6 at the French Open. Shamelessly, if you are not using rickrungood.com and you're missing out on European starts, like what are you doing? Because Tom Kim had 2 great European starts. He has not stopped playing since the Tour Championship. He is basically, I don't want to say back to being that elite approach player that we saw very early in his career, but he gained 6.5 strokes on approach at the BMW Championship, 2.7 in France. Going back to the US Open, he's a very positive approach player, very positive ball striker, sound around the green, and the putter is back. This is a great, great stat profile. If we go to the power rankings, and let's just look at the raw digits for the last 36 rounds for everybody in this field. Ludwig is number 1 in terms of raw strokes gained. If you look at the ball striking numbers, it's Ludwig, it's Cam Champ. Where do we get to Tom Kim? He's right here, 0.61 ball striking. Now, a lot of that, basically all of that is coming on approach. So if we sort this by approach, he's actually probably going to get a lot better of a jump here. Where are you, Tom? There he is, right here, 0.6. kind of with Kevin Roy above Cam Champ, maybe 12th or 15th. And then the other thing that I wanted to show is of those guys, he is lapping the field with the flat stick. I mean, he's basically, he and JT Poston are the two that are gaining at least 0.5 a stroke on approach and at least 0.5 a stroke with the putter over the course of the last 36 rounds. That's a very birdie maker style of golf to be played. So I know I've spent a lot. Listen, this might be a long one. I love this event. I'm happy to be back. Like, we might be here a while. I don't know. This is a pretty decent spot to run out old Tom Kim. You know, the rest of this, the rest of the 10K range is good. I think Poston is very, very interesting. I think he's very live to win this event. You know, his results, you might not remember because I don't even think he's played yet this season. The last time we saw him might've been, it was the BMW Championship. But remember, his season ended where he was gaining like a stroke per round on approach. The putter is always phenomenal. He's not the longest hitter in the world, so can we just keep it in play off the tee? And then you look at his history around this place. T4 in 2017, that's his best finish. And then he's got a bunch of missed cuts, but a couple of top 25s as well. So it's certainly a mixed bag. He has the skill set, right? We saw that in the course fit. We saw what he's doing recently, that high upside skill set. I would kind of prefer that he's played somewhere in the last 2 months, but I think it's okay. Cam Davis, and I'm basically a Cam Davis truther, this doesn't seem like a great spot for him, right? I think he is getting better at excelling at courses that he shouldn't, but this is still, I think he's still very much a course fit guy. And while he's had okay success at TPC Summerlin, his two best finishes are 27th and 28th. He's never missed a cut. It's not super inspiring. And when he gets going sideways, things start missing big, right? 156th in distance from edge of fairway, 140th in driving accuracy. I would not be surprised to see Cam Davis stepping into the desert a bit this week. So that's a little bit worrisome for me. So other than that, the 10K range is pretty exciting. Before I forget, I did also fire up another splash contest for this week. So the link is in the description. This is kind of the listener league that we've been doing recently. So it's on Splash. They are a new site that, it's actually not a new site. It's Office Football Pool and Run Your Pool got acquired and are now under Splash. So technically, I guess they've been around for a while. But the way that we've been doing this is basically tiers, right? And you go through six tiers, you pick a golfer in each tier, it's lowest score to par. I've made it a very top heavy payout structure because it's only $12, kind of a little lottery ticket. It's fun. I shout you out in the newsletter. You can win some money. It's cool. Links in the description. You can go check it out. I'll have my three entries in there and you can beat me up as much as you want, but I'll try to remember to keep rolling those out every single week because the feedback has been very, very good. Okay. The 9K range. Wow. Look at these guys. You know, Siwoo's in here, Eric Cole's in here, Nikolai's in here, Emiliano Grillo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So a couple names stand out to me immediately. First off, I think you're going to get a very popular Eric Cole. $9,800. He is someone who just continues to find himself at the top of the board. His mini tour experience in terms of birdie making is going to be nice. What he did last week was fine. It was losing three strokes off the tee at the Country Club of Jackson. T35, not the end of the world. He finished fourth at the Fortinet. I think that's what everybody's very excited about. And now he's got a stretch of, what is that, 15 straight made cuts, and now he goes to a course which, if he can keep it in play, should be a pretty decent setup for him. I think that's fine. I'm not sprinting out to like buy all the Eric Cole stock that I can. Maybe the most interesting one is Nikolai Højgaard, right? And he kind of flew under the radar. He played like a C minus, although he was a rookie at the Ryder Cup, so I don't know what the expectations were, but the Ludwig hype comes out of the Ryder Cup. Nikolai's the fourth best player in this field in strokes gained over the course of the last 36 rounds. He's gaining 1.2 strokes per round. I believe if we go back and look at these opportunities and just look at opportunities gained, right? So birdie putts 15 feet or closer. So you've got Kevin Yu number one, Ludwig Åberg number two, Nikolai Højgaard number three. And there's a pretty big gap between he, Højgaard, and Siwoo Kim at that four spot. So he possesses that upside of being able to make a lot of birdies. There was one other thing I liked about him. Maybe it was the opportunities. Oh, he gains across the board, right? So he is a positive in all four major strokes gain categories, which is, I think I'd prefer a little bit of like volatility, tee to green, get hot with the putter, but really good sign because he's kind of doing both right now. He's doing the elite opportunities, and then he is also making more putts than many of his peers. The golfer that you'll have to think back a while for is Adam Schenck here, and we can have the conversation about, you know, what about these guys who haven't played yet this fall, and we haven't seen them tee it up in 6 weeks. I don't know. What do you want to do? Do you want to reset them back to their 100 round baseline? If you want to do that, that's fine. You're certainly, more power to you there. Adam Schenck had an awesome finish to the season. He had five top tens in his last 11 starts. When he gets dialed in, when he plays well, he's a 4, 5, 6 strokes gained on approach guy, which is elite level stuff. I do worry that he might punt strokes around the green here. He's lost around the green in four straight, not massive losses, but definitely a little bit of a yellow flag. And these results at TPC Summerlin are great. He's played here 6 times. He's missed the cut once. The rest are all 27th or better. The last two are 12th and 3rd. Hasn't lost strokes on approach in 4 straight. Has never lost strokes putting at TPC Summerlin. And while he has given a stroke and a half back around the green in each of the last 2 years, he's generally pretty positive around the greens here. So this is a lot of good things, or at least the things that are deficiencies or things that you can worry about, kind of get masked when he comes to TPC Summerlin a little bit. So excited to see what Adam Shank has up the sleeve. The 8K range offers some decent value. I'll tell you what, if you would have said to me a couple of weeks ago, what is the field going to look like in Vegas, an event that doesn't necessarily always get the greatest field. Now it's in the fall, just 2 weeks after the Ryder Cup, I would have been pretty down on it. It's not a bad field. It's not a bad field. You get a couple of Ryder Cuppers in here. You get all the guys that we enjoy. This is cool. I'm okay with this. Vincent Norman, 8,800. The Scandinavians are taking over, right? As I've been clicking through, what are you noticing, right? Let's go to, you know, just power rankings over the last 36 rounds, which is statistically the most projectable, right, for the future. So it's Oberg, Tom Kim, JT Poston, Nikolai Højgaard, Vincent Norman, $8,800. The reason for that, well, he was a victor. Did you miss this? He won an event. He won 2 events in his last 7 starts. So he wins the Barbasol, which was the opposite field event. He wins the Irish Open on the DP World Tour. He's played twice since the playoffs have ended. He didn't make it to the Tour Championship. He made it to the FedEx St. Jude, and he's gone to win and a T18. Ball striking numbers are very, very good. We've talked about Vincent Norman a lot. Dude is a masher, and he is seemingly, like, the raw talent that he has is getting better and better and better every single week. If you look at the strokes gain trends tool, this is the ability to see how players are playing compared to their 100 round baseline. Last 36 rounds, Vincent Norman is a half a stroke over his 100 round baseline per round. So when you combine that with his 100 round baseline and you get a strokes gain trend number, he's actually, in terms of trending, the second best player in the field. Big gap to Ludvig Åberg at number 1, and actually pretty decent gap from Norman at 2 to Eric Cole at number 3. So I think this is a really interesting spot. $8,800. If you think Åberg captures a lot of the attention, and then Nikolai Højgaard catches some attention, where does Vincent Norman rank in all of this? And he is, boy, splendid. $8,800. I think that's a really good price for him. Luke List. I mean, I don't know, you know, hat tip, right? Hat tip to Luke List for the victory. Gained 6 strokes putting, his 4th best putting tournament of his career. Is that going to happen again? I don't know. I mean, he's gained putting in 3 straight. Has he found something? 4 out of his last 5. Or is this about to crash back down to earth? I do not necessarily love it when a golfer who, it's hard to fake a win on the PGA Tour. It's really difficult to do that, obviously. But this is a guy who has been below tour average on approach in his last 4. He was basically a 0 on approach at the Country Club of Jackson. 9.5 strokes gained in the short game categories. That is terrifying. And just looking at this, looks like regression is coming. I mean, between his 2 wins, so he won Farmers last January, so 2022. From that win to this win, he has done basically nothing. And now he's putting together, yes, a much better profile with the putter, but that is a kind of terrifying approach number. So I am cautious when it comes to Mr. Luke List here. Who I am not necessarily cautious about is Adam Svensson. And I wish he's played better at TPC Summerlin. But here's another guy, if I can type his name in correctly, who had a great run at the end of the fall where he gained 2.5 strokes on approach in 4 straight events, takes the break, and then comes out and he didn't even play particularly well last week, and he finished T16 at the Sanderson Farms. So this is what I'm hoping to get. Maybe last week was knocking off the rust a little bit, and I actually want to go look at the round-by-round stuff here in a second. But if we can get basically the same stat profile that he had at Sanderson Farms, but replace this approach number with any of his last five starts from the fall, that is a path to the top of the board for Adam Svensson. Seriously, that is actually true. I want to see, Holy Grail has the round by round numbers. I want to see what Svensson did round by round. And I'm hoping that I can create this narrative of Svensson knocking off the rust and playing better on Saturday and Sunday. Is that true? The answer is kind of. Sunday was his worst day by far. It's the only day he lost strokes to the field. Saturday was his best day, so we're not really learning anything here. Did have two good approach days, drove it well all 4 days, putted it great all 4 days. A little inconsistent on the second shot. If he cleans that up, there's a really good path for him. Before we get out of this 8K range, I'm not sure if I've shown this on a video yet, but I've been making, you know, I'm always making updates to rickrungood.com, but I added this tab to the power rankings, which is the rolling numbers, where you can put in any number of rounds and it shows you ranks and averages, but then also shows you versus last 12, last 24, last 36, last 50, etc. So I have the last 36 in here, which I should probably do something different because last 36 is already one of the defaults. So I'll do last 8, but you can see how it compares here. So the way to read this would be like, you know, see like Nikolai Højgaard really drops there, doesn't he? Because he got a big boost from a couple of really good starts. But you see, you know, in the last 8 rounds, he's the 36th best player in the field. Last 12, 112. Last 24, 108, right? So that's, you can kind of see how this goes. So when you look at this 8K range, you notice a couple of things. Vincent Norman, basically no matter how you slice it over the course of the last 100 to the last 8, he is a top 5 or top 16 player in this field. Other guys that you note, you know, Luke List, boom, that really big jump, no surprise there. But look, where was Aaron Rye? I wanted to see, Aaron Rye was a big last 36 guy. Hold on one second. Let me flip this around here because I wanted to show you this because I was pretty surprised by how consistently good he has been. Here he is. So struggling a little bit recently. In the last 8 rounds, again, tiny little sample size, doesn't matter. He's 48th. Last 12, he's 17th. Last 24, he's 17th. Last 36, he's 17th. Last 50, he's 17th. Last 100, he's 14th. So he has been in that 14 to 17 range basically for a year in this field, which if you're looking for kind of somebody safer, that feels like the path to go. And then you can kind of use this and find guys that are, you know, trending in the right direction. But I thought that was worth pointing out. I thought that was a fun little interesting nugget. The 7K range is full of, the 7K range is probably where you win all the money. It is full of guys with a ton of upside, high ceilings, low floors, right? So if we go back to those power rankings, go to the strokes gain distribution, go to, you know, strokes gain total over the last, strokes gain total, 5 or more. So how often are they gaining 5 or more strokes to the field? What you will notice is there are a ton of 7K guys at the top of this list. Davis Riley's number 1, he's 7300. Ludvig Åberg is number 2. CT Pan is number 3, 7200. Justin Suh, Vegas guy, plays out of TPC Summerlin, $7,900. He's in there as well. Austin Ekroth, Kevin Streelman. I'm just pointing out the guys in the 7K range who are at the top of this list. Probably a good time to discuss the Vegas guys as well. So there's a lot of Vegas ties, some guys that play out of here a lot, some guys you see here a lot, some guys that kind of come and go, whatever. Off the top of my head, and this is very, very short list, I'm sure there's way more than this. Justin Suh, Doug Gim, Harry Hall, talk about Harry Hall in a second. Those are probably the notables. I'm sure there's a lot more, and I can look through the list and point them out, but those are guys you see there a lot. So let's do Justin Suh real quick, because not only is he showing up on the high upside power rankings, he is a TPC Summerlin guy. He's the only event that he's played was the Fortinet, where he gained this year, where he gained 7.3 strokes ball striking. He gained 8.3 at the Omega European Masters 2 weeks prior to that. So he has been playing competitively since the end of the PGA Tour season. The only thing that he needs to marry that with is this phenomenal putter, which is crazy because for the first time at the Fortinet, that's the first time he's lost strokes putting in like a dozen events. So can we get the marriage? If there's ever a place to get a marriage, would it be your home golf course? Mixed bag of results. T8 in 2020 here, missed cut last year. Not a bad flyer. I'll just show you Harry Hall before. I mean, he's not in this range, but before I forget, Harry Hall, plays here all the time. If you are the best course on the statistically the best course on the PGA Tour schedule for Harry Hall statistically has been TPC Summerlin. He has only played here twice. He has finished 8th and 15th. He is gaining 16 strokes in 8 rounds at or 15 6 and 9 is what? 15? Is my brain 15 strokes in 8 rounds, which is the best of anybody, you know, small sample sizes at TPC Summerlin in this field dating back to 2008. And really, his form in both of those hasn't been particularly great. So even without great form, he's been able to show up here. I apologize. Matthew Neesmith has been better. 16 rounds at Summerlin, T2, T14, T8, T18. Harry Hall, 1.87. Okay, $6,700. So again, I know I'm jumping around here. I'm excited, but phenomenal putter, which is a good sign. And then look at what he's been able to do. You know, basically the only places he gains strokes off the tee or gains strokes ball striking is here, which makes sense because he's knows it very well. Okay, so I thought that was worth a divergence there. Back to the 7K range. Doug Gibb missed the cut on the number last week. Not super worried about that. He's accurate off the tee, plays out of here. Good ball striking, no problem. Joseph Bramlett's a Vegas guy. I do not know how often he is at TPC Summerlin. I see him at TPC Las Vegas a little bit. Vegas guy as well. SH Kim, $7,600. I am likely willing to forgive pretty quickly here on SH Kim. I was excited for him last week. He missed the cut, but he was much better on Friday than he was on Thursday. Let me wipe this out real quick. So he loses 3 strokes to the field on Thursday, gains 2.7 on Friday, not enough to make the cut. Finished runner up at the Fortinet and finished T4 here last year where he gained strokes across the board. I'm willing to give him one more chance, right? See where he nets out. Taylor Montgomery, Vegas guy. Hayden Buckley. So Hayden Buckley showed up on that list of guys who have played well at TPC Summerlin. And he's got obviously a couple of caveats. He tore a ligament last year. He missed like 6 weeks. And then he tried to come back and play the FedEx St. Jude. I think it was just an attempt for him to try to extend his season. Finished T52. Did not. Took a couple months off. Played last week at Sanderson Farms. I'm not super encouraged. Lost 2.7 strokes ball striking. That's uncharacteristic. When he's healthy and he's playing well, I want this. Elite driver of the golf ball, great approach player, ability to get hot, and he's probably going to cost you a lot around the greens. 8 rounds here. He's gained, 14 strokes to the field in 8 rounds, T8 and T20 in his 2 trips. That's a very deep flyer. I think if you're willing to take on a lot of risk, he's interesting. The 6K range, which we got to get to Lexi here in a second. Is there anybody else in the 7K range that I think we're gonna run a model? So we'll see what the model obviously spits out. $6,000 range. Let's sort this by strokes gained total. Stuart Sink shows up here, but I am assuming that is from. Let's pull up Stuart Sink. I think he's gonna get a big boost here from. His Champions Tour stuff. So he's been beating up the Champions Tour pretty good. His PGA Tour stuff is not horrible, but a lot of these gains, depending on how far you go back, are coming from his Senior Tour stuff. So keep that in mind. Kelly Kraft, remember him? Has very quietly put together a decent little run. So it goes back to the Wyndham. He finished T33 there. gained strokes in both ball striking categories, putted well. He's a very good putter. He's gained putting in 9 of 11, something like that. Then he starts this season with a T25 at Silverado, where he gained strokes in all four categories, and a T16 last week at the Sanderson Farms, where he popped for 6.25 strokes on approach. What are we getting here, Kelly? Are you finding a little game right now? Getting back, this is a pretty, for a 6,000 or a 60, how much is he? $400 golfer, $6,400 golfer. It's a pretty darn good stat profile. A lot of light green on this stat pro. I mean, you can see how far he's come. I mean, he was hemorrhaging for most of 2023, but very, very good turnaround here for Kelly Kraft. Lexi Thompson is in this field at $6,100, which is near, you know, $100 more than the minimum. So there's obviously no data on her, right? No official data on her. She's going to become the seventh woman to tee it up with the men. If you look around the industry, odds makers, I've seen anywhere from 10 to 1 to 25 to 1 for her to make the cut. So that is kind of what the markets think about her chances this week. I'm excited for this. I think this is going to be really cool. I'm excited to follow her around. We'll see what group she's probably going to get, a great group, and see how she does. This is a golf course that does not necessarily need distance, right? We've talked about that already, and that's good, because while she is long by LPGA standards, like 270 yards per drive, that would statistically be the worst in this field of any qualified golfer. So she's going to be the shortest golfer in this field. But again, length is not an issue here. Is she going to give herself enough opportunities? I think she's going to give herself some decent opportunities. Does she make enough birdies? Is she going to make enough putts? Always a question when it comes to Lexi. And the thing that I worry about is we have seen her a lot recently, and obviously she struggles in some short game areas. And we talked about the trickiness of these around the green spots at TPC Summerlin. The one thing that she does have going for her, which a lot of other women who would try to do this do not, is, you know, she has played in events with the men. She played the QBE shootout, which is now the Grant Thornton, whatever, that the team event. You know, she's around these guys a lot. I think it's not going to be super ugly, I don't think. I think she's going to hold her own. I do not think she's going to make the cut. She will probably finish close to the bottom of the board. But I'm excited for it. And I think if you look at what the markets are asking, you know, 25 to 1 or even 10 to 1 for her to make the cut, that's probably unlikely. Don't quote me on this, but I think she'd be the first woman to make a cut in a PGA Tour event in the last 50 years or 70 years, something like that. So it's definitely an uphill battle, but this is one of the better courses for her. If you were to put her, like, this is probably one of the better spots for her to try to do this. So we'll see. I'll follow her around. We'll see what's going on. But I don't think it's a DFS play. It's basically what I'm getting at here. All right, let's run a model. So custom model, rickrungood.com. God, it feels so good to be back. All right. Let's do a couple of things. Start off the tee and do driving. We could do good drive percentage. That's kind of a nice little, do you hit the fairway or do you give yourself a shot at the green? So let's put 18 on good drive. On approach, this has got to be opportunities, right? Opportunities plus gain. However you want to do this. If you just want to put 5 on each one of those, and call it 20 on approach, which I'd be fine with, and make it all about opportunities, let's get freaky and do that. Around the green, so let's do strokes gained around the green last 50, something longer term, and not a lot, 8, right? I just need you to be kind of competent there. Putting, we could do bonus putting. Bonus putting would be kind of sick. Right. So bonus putting is, do you make all of your 5-footers and in, and how many putts outside of, I think it's 20 or 25 feet, do you make? It's a kind of a high upside type of putting. So let's put 10 on that. And let's also put 10 on strokes gained putting for the last 24 rounds, something shorter term. So I've got, I still have 34 left. Wow, that's a lot. Let's do course history, 10 or so. So TPC Summerlin, 10. Let's do, and you could also do, if you want to throw in the desert courses here, you could also do that as well. That's up to you. Let's do course types, easy. Put 10 there. Again, kind of scoring. And then we've got 14 left. Let's split 7 on implied win and 7 on fantasy points gained. Wow. I mean, I knew it was going to be pretty eclectic, but look at this. Tom Kim, number one. I kind of think that might be true. Carson Young is number two, $6,900. He gets a big boost basically everywhere. His approach numbers are pretty, I mean, he's basically like, oh, he's a big bonus putter. He's the best in bonus putting. That's why. So you're seeing him get a lot of, he's basically like top 30 in everything. He's not very good around the green. And then he gets a big boost from the bonus putting. Okay. Chad Ramey, you know, it's Summerlin and I've used a lot of different stats to get these guys. Ramey 3, Eric Cole 4, Hadwin 5, Poston 6, Thompson 7, SH Kim 8, Webb Simpson 9, Kevin Yu is 11. Wow. Siwoo, or Kevin Yu is 10, Siwoo is 11, excuse me. Interesting. I'm nervous about that. I'm going to save this one. Let me run another one real quick. So this will be TPC Summerlin Monday. I mean, I when you use a lot of different, let me reel this in real quick. So let's do strokes gained approach, last 36, 25. Driving, 10 on distance, 15 on accuracy. Strokes, I think I did strokes gained around the green last 50. Let's do 15 there. Strokes gained putting last 12. Go a little bit. Let's go a little bit longer. 15 on strokes gained last 36. I've got 20 left. We'll do 10 on easy courses and 10 on course history. Yeah, you get some bigger names here. Some more expensive guys up top. Bezuidenhout, 1. Tom Kim again, number 2. Siwoo moves up. Putnam, Oberg, Wallace, Gim, Norman, Webb Simpson, Eric Cole. Interesting. Wow. I mean, this thing is wide open, is it not? I think Tom Kim might be the best play. Not the best player, but that's not bad at all. Okay. That'll do it. So I'll be on site. I'll tweet out as much as I can. The first time you'll see boots on the ground for me is probably Tuesday. So keep an eye out for that on Twitter. Sign up for my newsletter, rickrungood.com/newsletter. Sign up for rickrungood.com. Subscribe. All the stuff that I probably should have asked you for throughout this preview. Please go do that stuff. Help support. We'll continue to rock and roll here. If you're going to be out there, say hello. And best of luck this week. I'll talk to you guys soon.